Well, it could be one of the most serious war crimes cases to emerge from the Afghan war. Five U.S. soldiers have been charged with deliberately targeting Afghan civilians. The troopers allegedly killed three Afghans in Kandahar province this year. They were charged with murder in June. Since then, U.S. Army prosecutors have also filed additional charges of conspiracy to commit murder and drug use against them. The plot reportedly began when one of the soldiers formed what's been called a kill team to randomly execute Afghan civilians while on patrol. Investigators say anyone who dared to report the events was threatened with violence. All five are awaiting court-martial and could face life in prison or death if convicted.
In Egypt, demonstrators have gathered on the streets of the capital, Cairo, in protests against high prices.
We have started a campaign on the high prices before Ramadan, and we have agreed that if the prices never changed and linked to the income, we will organize demonstrations.
Well, the rally was organized by different opposition groups that have accused the government of failing to run the country. However, the government says prices have risen as a result of high prices on the international markets. The protest comes amid public complaints over severe shortages in essential services such as water, electricity, health care, and education. According to the United Nations, one-fifth of Egypt's population of 80 million is living on less than $1 per day.
A revolution will take place. The change is coming for sure. What can people do after living under hunger, contaminated food and drinking sewage? We can't be patient anymore.
Elsewhere, South Africa's main union federation is giving the government 7 days to negotiate a better offer with striking public servants before it moves to bring the country to a complete standstill. Workers have kept up action for over a week now, hoping their demands will be met. Hassan Seria now reports.
Workers are intensifying their action. Holding marches through city centres across the country, unions say they will not be defeated.
This has fast become one of the biggest strikes that this country has seen in recent years, and this number could swell in coming days if the government doesn't act fast to accede to workers' demands.
Teachers, hospital staff and other civil servants have participated in noisy protests for the past 10 days. They want an 8.6% pay rise and are angry that the government is only offering 7%. And now the main union federation has given an assurance that other workers will join in a solidarity strike to further pressure the government.
In 7 days, the whole of this economy will stand still. So we're saying to government, better phone us now. Send an SMS. Our phones are open. We want to hear you. And please don't call us for 7%.
An expansion of the strike will mean workers from municipalities, mines, the construction, energy and food manufacturing sectors will also join in. The army has also threatened to participate in the strike. If that happens, it means hospitals which have relied on the army to offer assistance during this strike could come to a total shutdown. The government, while seeming sympathetic to workers' problems, says it cannot afford to deliver wage increases that amount to twice the rate of inflation. This is the official line.
Comrades, thank you for your memorandum. With regard to the issues pertaining to our department, we will give the matter due consideration. With regard to the broader issues, we will bring these matters to the attention of the National Minister of Basic Education, as well as the Minister of Further and Higher Education. Thank you.
President Jacob Zuma has defended the union's right to strike, but has also urged them to end violence and intimidation. In a small victory for the state, it managed to gain a court interdict preventing the police and prison officials from also joining the strike action, with workers having sacrificed almost 2 weeks of pay so far and the government facing a total shutdown. It's now only a matter of who will back down first. Western City Press TV, Johannesburg.
Heavy fighting between al-Shabaab fighters and government troops continues in the Somali capital.
The fourth consecutive day of clashes, 7 civilians have been killed in Mogadishu. More than 15 people have been injured as the two sides exchanged heavy artillery and mortar fire near the Bakara market. A mother and her 6 sons were caught in the crossfire and killed. Many businesses in the market have decided to close shops and evacuated the business center. For the past 4 days, more than 650 people have been injured and over 100 lives have been lost in Mogadishu. Al-Shabaab fighters have vowed to oust the government troops by the end of the holy month of Ramadan. The group controls much of the southern and central parts of Somalia, including a large portion of the capital.
A leaked report by the United Nations accuses Rwanda's army and Congolese rebels of possible genocide in the Democratic Republic of Congo. A UN report set to be published next month has accused Rwanda of war crimes. But now a draft version of the report revealed by the French daily Le Monde says abuse over a period of 7 years by Rwanda in Congo might be classified as genocide. One major case is an incident in which Rwandan forces and local allies rounded up hundreds of men, women and children and butchered them. A spokesman for the UN says the leaked document is still a draft and has some errors.
Japanese giant automaker Toyota has announced the recall of more than 1 million of its vehicles in North America. The company says it will recollect about 1.13 million of its Corolla model cars. The recall is due to an engine defect that could lead to the car stopping while being driven. The decision is a fresh blow to the automaker, which recalled some 10 million vehicles across the world earlier this year due to a faulty acceleration system.
Well, in Indian-controlled Kashmir, thousands of people have poured onto the streets to protest the continuous civilian killings in the region. Government forces fired warning shots to disperse the protesters in Srinagar. 6 people are reported to have been injured. The protest rally comes a day after a teenager was killed in a fresh round of violence. Kashmir has recently been the scene of pro-independence demonstrations despite rolling curfews. The death of a teenage student on June the 11th triggered the rally. 64 people have lost their lives in the 2 months of violence.
Pakistan's floods are looking more monstrous than ever as rising waters threaten further chaos in the country's south. Nearly 500,000 people have been told to evacuate towns in Sindh province. The UN says more than 17 million people have already been affected by the floods. Officials warn that millions are at risk from diseases and food shortages. Meanwhile, the UN says it's reviewing security measures for its aid workers. This after reports that militants plan to attack foreigners engaged in the relief efforts. They've reportedly accused the United States and other Western countries of seeking their own interests in Pakistan rather than helping flood victims. Well, staying with France, now former President Jacques Chirac has agreed to pay a hefty fine to escape prosecution on charges of fraud. Under the deal, Chirac and France's ruling UMP party will pay the city of Paris 2.2 million euros to drop its embezzlement cases against the former president. Chirac is accused of inventing so-called ghost jobs for friends and allies during his tenure as mayor of Paris in the 1990s. He has denied any wrongdoing. The judges in the case could still order Chirac to stand trial. Conviction would put him behind bars for 10 years. Chirac has long been scandalized by corruption charges. He faces a separate corruption trial this fall.
Now, as the U.S. economy shrinks even further, more Americans are facing the real threat of losing their homes. Reports show that last month about 10% of homeowners have missed at least one mortgage payment and are in danger of losing their homes to foreclosure. More than 2 million houses have been repossessed by lenders since late 2007, and the economists fear that the number of foreclosures will rise well into the next year. Crisis is having a direct impact on the residential real estate market. Plummeting home prices has nearly crashed the housing market. New home sales fell a record 27% last month. Experts blame high unemployment rate and a slower than expected economic growth for the current foreclosure crisis.
Well, it's been a disappointing day for Wall Street as U.S. markets slump on mixed economic data. The Dow Jones fell 74 points, closing at 9,986. It's the blue chips index's first time closing below 10,000 points since July. Weak economic news and fears about the country heading back into a recession had investors scrambling to let go of their stocks. Meanwhile, the Nasdaq Composite Index closed more than 1% lower than around 2,118.